Thank you all for being here. I'm just going to read a passage of scripture before we start, and then I really just want to talk about for a little bit the importance of showing up to wherever you serve, having been prepared to serve, and just practical ways or practical things that we can put into practice to make sure that we're prepared to serve when we do serve. And we're going to see that everyone in the church is called to service in some capacity, whether that's in children's ministry or otherwise, but how can we set ourselves up to be useful to the body of Christ when we come to serve. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, and I would, of course, love to hear from some of you kind of how you prepare for service, the things that you do, the things that you've put into place just to make ministry effective for you and for the Lord. So before we jump into that, I just want to read to you from Romans chapter 12. Really, when considering and thinking about the body of Christ, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4 are the three kind of key passages that talk about our relation to one another and the Lord as the body of Christ, and how He has given us different grace and giftings so that we could be a benefit to the whole. Each one of us is uniquely beneficial to everyone else. Not everyone is given the same gifts, not everyone is given the same job, not everyone is expected to perform or do the same things. We are different by God's design for His purpose and glory. And so I just want to cover that briefly by reading one of those chapters, and then we'll kind of dive in. Romans chapter 12 says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. He is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I really don't expect to share anything with you today that you don't already know. One of the cool things about coming to church is that you're reminded of the things that you already knew. And the Lord is able to use those things and kind of minister to our hearts and we're able to stir one another up to love and good works. And so that's really my heart's desire with this. In verse 11, Paul encourages us not to be lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Who should serve and why? Well, according to these three chapters, one of which we just read, anyone who has been born again into the body, which is Christ, has a job to do. We are all here to serve. 1 Corinthians would talk about how, you know, the ear can't say to the eye that I don't need you. We aren't supposed to look at one another and be jealous of one another or covet positions or authority or anything like that. We're just supposed to seek the Lord. Lord, why do you have me here? You've made me with these interests, with this personality, for such a time as this. There just so happened to be a hole in second grade when I said I would help out in children's ministry. You put me with these people to serve beside and with. You know, what is the Lord doing? Why does he have you here? The Lord is totally sovereign over all of the needs of the church and was sovereign in bringing all of us together to minister to his kids and to the families here, which ultimately we are serving the Lord. And so I am just humbled and honored to be able to serve alongside of all of you in this capacity, but we want to serve well. And so I guess that's really what we're trying to answer today is how do we serve well? How do we continue to serve well? How do we show up on a Sunday morning and not just like grab the packet and flip through it quick and then just kind of read it to the kids that showed up that morning? How do I really give my best to the Lord? And so, you know, I have no opinions that are worth anything to any of you that aren't standing on the Word of God. I can either give you God's Word and how He has told us to minister, or I can share a bunch of methods and opinions and practices, but none of those would be of any lasting value to any of you. So we stand on God's Word. The one who called us to service has told us how to serve. So how should we serve? Well, I could list 100 verses, but a couple to think about. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, very famous verses. Whatever you do, do it heartily, with all your heart, as to the Lord and not to men. Remember, we don't come and serve kids. We come and serve the Lord. As we serve one another in the body of Christ, we are serving Christ. And if we lose sight of that, then we won't serve with the right heart. As to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord. You guys don't serve me. You don't serve your coordinator. You serve the Lord. And in serving the Lord, yes, you serve me too. And you serve everyone else in this room because you're serving the body of Christ. And so I praise the Lord that that's how he works. When we esteem others better than ourselves and look out for the interests of others, we look out for the interests of Christ. And we allow the giftings that he's given us to bless and minister to the body of Christ. Galatians 6 says this. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. It's interesting that we are supposed to especially esteem the needs of those within the body of Christ even greater than the needs of those outside of the body. We can look at all the injustices in the world and the people who are starving and the person on the street with the sign who needs money and a meal. But ultimately, if the needs within the body of Christ are being neglected, then we are overlooking the most important thing because we're overlooking Christ and what he has given you to minister to his body. And so I think that word, those words there are key. As we have opportunity, you know, whatever God is calling you to serve, or in whatever capacity God is calling you to serve, just so happens to be whatever he's put in front of you. You know, he's put in front of us certain needs for volunteers in children's ministry, and some of you have stepped into those positions. And the opportunity was there, and you took it. You know, if you're walking down the hallway and there's a piece of trash laying on the ground, there's an opportunity to serve. Pick up that trash heartily as unto the Lord. You know what I mean? If a kid just had an accident, opportunity, serve the Lord. You know what I mean? Like whatever it's going to be, all of the things that happen to us, I am no believer in coincidence. I am a believer in the sovereignty of God. And all of the needs that pass our way are an opportunity to minister to the heart of Christ and minister with the heart of Christ to those in need. You know, that's what the whole story of the Good Samaritan was about. Here's a need, here's people who walked by, and here's a man who made a difference because he stopped, saw the need, and acted. And so I would just encourage all of us, we live in a church among a people with a vast array of needs. The thing they need most is Christ. But any other needs we notice as well, a word of encouragement, and I'm praying for you. How are you really doing? You know, whatever that would look like, any need that is in front of us is an opportunity. So as we have opportunity, let's do good to everybody, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know, we can so easily get rushed with the million things that we have to do, or we have to get home to do this, or check this off the list, or whatever. But, you know, we have to stop looking at opportunities as inconveniences when it's really an open door that the Lord's put in front of us to walk through and serve. Serve prepared. So how do I serve the way I'm supposed to? Well, we'll talk practically what this would look like. But first of all, it's God who works in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. There's a couple resources I'm going to recommend to you guys to read. By no means a reading requirement. I'm not going to ask you for a book report or anything like that. But I would strongly recommend you read the resources that are mentioned on the back. The book by Warren Wiersbe, I put a quote right here from him. And he's just like a quote machine. But he says this. He says, "The willing and the working both come from God. Whatever God calls us to do, we can do with His help. Otherwise, He would never have called us. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." What do you do on move-up day when an impossible child steps into your room? The volunteers behind you are breathing a sigh of relief. That's what happens. And you're looking at the next year of ministering to this kid. Or if you're like me, serving in the CPAC, you're looking at the next 3 years. What am I going to do for the next 3 years with this child? Well, He who calls you is able to do it. You know what I mean? And so if it's not Him working in us to love and to minister to His church, then our efforts will fall short. But if He couldn't do it in us or through us, He never would have called us. And so His calling is our enabling. Ephesians 2, by the way, I would just read Ephesians or Philippians 2 has really been ministering to me. I would just read the whole thing, to be honest. A lot about humility and just serving one another. But in terms of God doing that work in us, yeah, it's His work. So we have to put ourselves, how do we prepare? Well, we have to put ourselves in a position for Him to work in our hearts. And so for all of these things in terms of preparation, I guess a question that could be asked beside each bullet point would be, well, what might hinder that from happening? Well, what might hinder me from actually serving as a member of the body of Christ? Well, not being at church, I guess, right? Not being connected to the body, not thinking about everybody else. What would keep me from doing it heartily as unto the Lord? What would keep me from enduring? What would cause me to grow weary and lose hope in what I'm doing? You know, all of these things, what would keep God from working in me? And so Ephesians 2 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. There's that, what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. All the things that we do, they're not to draw attention to ourselves, right? Like we were reminded of this morning as Joe's been going through just John the Baptist. Our job is behold the Lamb. Our job is there's Jesus. Eyes off me, attention on Jesus, right? Like let's get all of our attention, point the way to Him. All the things that we do is just an open invitation for kids to come to Jesus. Kind of like what we talked about at our meeting for everyone is our heart is that we don't want to hinder the kids from coming to Jesus. We want them to come to Him. His arms are open to them. And who are we to keep them? 2 Timothy 3, we need to read God's Word. We need to be in the habit of regularly attending to our souls by opening up God's Word and letting it minister to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, correction, instruction, in righteousness, reproof, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How do you get equipped to serve in children's ministry? You take in God's Word and you let it bear fruit in your heart. What would hinder God's Word from bearing fruit in your heart? Well, you think about the parable of the sower. And cares of this world, getting a busy life and crowding out God's Word in your heart, not even giving room for God to speak. You know what I mean? I wonder how often we go through our days and I just wonder at the end of the day if God is like, where were you? I was waiting for you. You know what I mean? You never met with me. You never let me speak to you. And how brokenhearted he must be over that. And I speak as a guilty party there. I don't give enough time myself to God's Word. And this is like the eternal struggle of every Christian. It's like, I don't read my Bible enough. Like, yeah, exactly. Me neither. But we need to actively be working at this. We need to see God's Word for what it is. God's Word is all the difference. At Calvary Chapel, we emphasize the teaching of God's Word. It's God's Word or nothing else. When I was a volunteer, I taught fourth grade, and I was getting really hype. I think I've said this before, but I was getting really hype because John Piper does these like little biographical like sketches of people, and he'll like take 40, 50 minutes, an hour, and he'll just like talk about like Tozer or Spurgeon or like David Livingston. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I was all fired up on these missionaries. I'm like, gonna go be a missionary. My life's gonna be awesome. God's gonna use it. And I came to Tom Swope, who was the children's ministry pastor at the time, and I was like, what do you think about me teaching missionaries? And he's like, give me an example. And I'm like, oh, well, I would just say, we're going to learn about this missionary today. And he was like, what about God's Word? And I was like, I'll use a couple verses. And he was like, no. We are here to minister God's Word to souls in need. They don't need to learn about missionaries. They need to learn about God's Word. And so I was very thankful for Tom Swope to rebuke me and put me in my place and kind of calm the fire that was in my heart about emphasizing the wrong things. A prayer for us to pray whenever we open a God's Word is just, I pray this every time I do, Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. In order to be prepared, we need to realize that it's God working in us. We need to give ourselves to His Word so that His Word can bear fruit in our lives. And we need to pray. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. How much do you pray about what you do on a Sunday morning or night or a Wednesday evening? Do you pray just before the kids sign in? You pray on your drive there? Or after they leave on Sunday, are you already praying for what the Lord's going to do next week? Asking the Lord to make the word that you just spoke into their hearts fruitful throughout this week, to give them what they need. You know, if you haven't looked at it yet, I would encourage you to go back and watch the all-volunteer meeting that we just had. It's on our volunteer page. But I just went through a list of prayer requests of kids praying some really heavy stuff, coming from all kinds of situations and circumstances with all kinds of different really deep needs that only Christ can minister to their hearts regarding. And so I would encourage you, don't just learn the names of your kids. Learn what they need. Pray for them. Take prayer requests. See what's going on in their heart and their lives. You know, hearts have never been more open to me than when I have asked for prayer requests. It's like opening up this door into a whole nother world of kids just being willing to open themselves up, like the old saying, you know, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so for you to hear that this kid's really nervous because his grandmom's in the hospital and they don't know what's going to happen, and then for you to follow up the next week and say, hey, I've been praying for your grandma. How is she? Like, that means the world to a kid. Like, you've been thinking about me all week? Like, wow. Even if they don't even act like that, you know what I mean? Like, that's incredible. And I just had that situation and a less positive outcome, I guess, where, you know, we had been praying for this kid's grandma who was in the hospital, and this Wednesday he came back, and we said, how's your grandma doing? And he said, well, she died. You know what I mean? And there's just like an open door to minister to this kid's heart who never would have said anything. But I encourage you, so don't just pray and take prayer requests in the room for these kids and with these kids, but allow God to shape your heart and conform you to His image as you pray for these kids all week. And not just these kids and what's going on in their families, but for one another. What are the greatest needs of those you serve with? Do you know what's going on in their life? There's a lot of you. I'm working on it. But for those you immediately serve with, you know what I mean? God has put you with each other. However different or similar your personalities are, He's given you one another. And that's why I ask you to come 20 minutes early, 25 minutes early, to have those 10 minutes to check in with each other. What's going on? What can we be praying for? How can we lift one another up? Take some time to pray before kids start signing in. It's important to pray for and with one another. And as we do, God will stir up love for one another in our own hearts. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This kind of work has an end. We will not always minister to Christ in this way. You know, we never know when a kid steps into a Sunday school room if this is going to be the last time they step foot in this building, or if this is going to be the last time that they're going to hear God's word, or what's going on. And so that should encourage us to give our best, knowing that, hey, I mean, maybe this is it. Maybe Sunday, this Sunday's the last one. Jesus is coming back. If this was my last shot with these kids, did I give it my best shot? You know, did I go into this week giving it my best? Was I doing it as unto the Lord? We should encourage one another in these things, because I don't do this perfectly. I don't do it well enough. I want to do it better. And that's what really this is. It's just an encouraging of one another. Let's do better. All you guys are doing great. I love you guys. But all of us can also always do better, because God's work isn't finished in us. He's doing a work in each and every one of us. And so I want to give myself to that work and enable as much as possible Him to conform me into the image of Christ, so that when kids step into my Sunday school room, they see Jesus. And I'll just say a brief word about being on guard. Satan hates the church. He hates these kids. He hates that you've decided to give yourself to ministry. This just happened the other week, where I was just having a really hard time at home. My wife was like, "What is going on?" I was like, "The only thing I can say is it's got to be warfare. Like, I'm just down." You feel it, you know. You know, crazy things happen that are out of our control. This blows up at home, tires flat, you know, or kids just like punched a hole through the drywall, or like whatever's going on. Like, think to me, and we're like, what is going on? Sometimes we just got to be straight up and acknowledge, like, we live in a world with warfare. Like, there's dark spiritual powers that are actively opposing the work that God is doing in the world, and you're giving yourself to that work. Warren Wiersbe says in his little book here, he's like, when you enter into ministry, you're not going to the playground, you're going to the battleground. Like, you strap on the armor and you get to church, serve some of those two-year-olds, you know why? You know what I mean? It's like, you show up and they're just like, you know, they sob and scream in your ear for 2 minutes and you're like ready to throw in the towel. They're like, I'm done with this. Yeah, they got their snot all over your shoulder and you're like, what's going on? Like, and Jesus is like, that one's mine. You're like, oh, right. It's all good. Satan hates the church, but the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against the church. And so we need to just be honest and acknowledge we're at war. And the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. They're not physical, but God's word is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So as Paul talks about this great open door that he has in front of him, he's like, yeah, but there's also many adversaries. He's like, here's this awesome open door from the Lord, which is what we all pray for our neighbor to be like, yo, tell me about that Jesus thing. You know what I mean? They're like, what? And then, like, something goes on. It's like this adversarial something, you know, that, like, something was just so awesome. Like, God gave me this awesome opportunity, but immediately it's like, now stuff's going on. I never find time somehow to give myself to reading God's word. You know what I mean? Like, life just got so nuts. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. So we just got to be straight up and acknowledge. And that's why there's this encouragement in Ephesians chapter 6 to strap up and put on the whole armor of God so that we would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. But God has not left us ill-equipped. He's given us everything that we need for life, for godliness, for the work of the ministry. His calling is His enabling. And that's why, since it's the work that God's doing in us, that leaves us like no room to boast about what's going on. Like, sometimes maybe we show up and we grab a packet and we roll right into the room and we're like, yeah, I kind of know this story already. I've been teaching second grade for 7 years, so like, I know what we're going to teach. I know the hook. I know the kids are going to laugh at this. I know the craft. You know what I mean? And you just go in and you know, so you're good. That's not an excuse for not giving time to preparation. If God blesses our efforts and we didn't really prepare, that's because the Holy Spirit's awesome, not you. You know what I mean? And I've done that. And I thought to myself, wow, that was actually pretty good. I like hardly gave any time into prepping, and the Lord was like, blessings. You know, I was like, that's not me. I was like, we can see that sometimes as an excuse like not to prepare. Like, no, the Lord just blessed that in spite of you. You know what I mean? It's like, because His word's awesome and He cares about these kids. Like, you got to do a better job, you know, and it's a rebuke to myself. Wiersbe has this quote in his book, and he just says, if you can explain what's going on, God didn't do it. I believe that 100% about this ministry. I mean, look at all of us in this room, all the different walks of life that God has brought together to serve His kids. And I think, wow, that is so crazy. I walk around and I see how different some of your teaching styles are. And I'm just like, whoa, like the Lord's doing something. You know what I mean? We're not supposed to be the same. We're not supposed to try to be like this person or that person. God made you to be you to these kids. He's like, I knew that these kids needed Diane tonight. You know what I mean? This is like whatever it is, you know? And so we can't set aside just the unique qualities that we have. We have to allow God to do that work in us that is unique to us that only He can do, and allow us to be whoever it is that He made us to be. So I would just challenge our motives and say, you know, why is it that we're serving? Are we serving it because it's just what we've always done? Are we serving because it's what is expected of us? Are we serving because we are fulfilled in serving? Unless our motivation is the love of Christ, like Paul said, it is the love of Christ that compels us, then we're serving with the wrong heart. It all has to flow for love from Him. And the Spirit of God has shed His love abroad in our hearts. And as we abide in Christ, who is love, His love will work in us and out of us. We are not manufacturing anything. We are just passing on what we have received. And that's why it's so important for us to first be filled, so that we have something to pour out on these kids as we minister to them and as we minister to one another. You know, and as we do that, we look like Jesus to these kids and our families. Wiersbe said that the love we need for ministry is not natural. It's a supernatural quality that only God can provide. And we serve because God calls us to. And whenever He tells you it's time to jump out of children's ministry, you just let me know. Because I don't want you here anymore if God doesn't want you here anymore. He's not calling you out of service, but hey, I get it. Sometimes He transitions our time of service depending on what season of life we're in. So we just always want to remain sensitive to His calling wherever He's leading us. And as we serve, we show what Jesus is like. The Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. I guess I would just close with this. What would hinder us? The ministry of God's Word. What are you doing to make sure that you're getting it at home? Are you giving yourself to His Word? Not just the Word that you're going to teach, but are you regularly tending to your soul by allowing God to speak? Prayer. How often do you pray? Look, I'm not going to write out any time requirements for any of these categories. You all know in your own stage of walk, your own maturity, your own season of life, how much time do you give to something. But we can give ourselves structure to kind of hold us accountable to these things. And that's why I ask you guys to attend a service in addition to serving at a service. We have that ability because we want to be sure that we are ministered to by the person that God has stirred up pastoral giftings in and put before us as the head of our church to minister and be ministered to. You know, what is God doing? So that kind of holds us accountable. And I would encourage all of you, you know, I know it's tough to come out even a second time on a Sunday like this. Thank you. But I would encourage you to come out to Sunday night prayer. Even if it's just once a month, committing to once a month, I'm going to come out and I'm going to pray with the church. You know, give ourselves to prayer. What are the needs of the church? What's going on? And if not, just being sure to pray at home. You know, setting a habit of prayer, like I said, for fellow volunteers, for the kids, the families, knowing their names and their needs. And again, just stay plugged in for however long it is that Christ has you here. You know, what is God really calling us to, and for how long? Only you can know the answer to that as you seek the Lord. In those things. But practically, and then I'll ask you guys what you do, but practically, I would just say, you know, it's my goal that as soon as I teach on a Sunday, the very same day after I'm done teaching, I read the passage that I'm going to be teaching next week. Like, when it comes to practical stuff, I'm like, oh, where am I going to be teaching next week? Even if you're an assistant in the room and you're not necessarily teaching, where are we going to be at next week? Like, where are we going next? What is the Lord going to be working into these kids' hearts? And then kind of just like become familiar with that throughout the week. Like read the passage once a day. You know what I mean? Until you get there, be thinking about it. Lord, minister to my heart regarding this passage. What do the kids need? What would this passage look like for them in school or at home, in a broken home, in a neighborhood with unsaved kids? Like you just kind of go through different scenarios and ask the Lord to kind of reveal to your own heart the needs of the kids you're going to be opening His Word to. And so become familiar with the passage, give yourself to daily prayer, and just see what he would do. If possible, be in communication with each other regarding what's coming. You know what I mean? I am awful at that. I do not do well with including people in on my teaching when I have others in the room. It's something the Lord's growing me in. But just being aware, you know, even if you're not the teacher, you're allowed to have thoughts about what's going on. You know what I mean? To give your input and to allow the kids to hear from you too. So come prepared, come with thoughts, give glory to God, not just in how you show up and present, but in how you prepare. But for you guys, any questions about that, / what are some of the things that you guys do to prepare? How have you organized your life or disciplined yourself so that you're able to give yourself to his work faithfully, not just on Sunday or Wednesday, but all through the week? Rose? Yeah.
I pray, and then I pick out something that I think is what's going to go with this lesson, right?
Mm-hmm. An illustration or something, or
it's not about me. I learned during my teaching and wisdom God has given me. I pray what He wants me to teach, and sometimes it's totally different from the portion that I wanted to put. So it's kind of cool when you pray for God first.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to read stories in the Bible first. And then I write it out myself. And what happens? Of course, you read your commentary
mm-hmm.
from the Bible.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah. So if you didn't hear that, I would agree. If you're going to teach on a passage, read that passage and pray about it and see what the Lord might show you before you even look at the packet or read a commentary or listen to Joe's message on it. Because the temptation will always be there. Oh, that sounded really good. I'm going to say that. And there's this whole thing going on pastorally where people are stealing one another's sermons, or sermons are even being sold online, and people are just reteaching other people's material. That is really what's happening in a lot of churches today. That sermon was great for whoever it was spoken to the first time. Like, if that's what God had prepared for the people sitting in that congregation on that day, praise the Lord. Can we listen to a past sermon and be blessed? Absolutely. But God wants to do something that the kids are presently going to, and He knows exactly who's going to be sitting in your room, and He knows each and every one of their needs, and He knows what you need as you read that passage. And we kind of rob God of being able to reveal those things to us if the first thing we do is read the packet or read David Guzik's commentary or listen to Joe's message. None of that's wrong. None of that's bad. But like, we need to get into a habit of letting God speak to us first so that we have something from Him to give. You know, as Joe teaches through the Bible again and again and again, he's not just going back and redoing his sermon that he did on John 1, you know, 13 years ago. He's bringing something fresh to the table because this is a different congregation now with different needs, you know, in a different time. So I agree. Thanks, Rose. What else do you guys do?
Right. I think it's important to my wife, Susie, she's 3-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
We reviewed a lesson like in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
And we were over together with different points we can make, what questions we should ask, how to get in. But more importantly, what comes out of that is that you never know who's going to be sick.
Yeah.
And why do you put patients in better at it than I do?
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, if we had a teach today, I would have been teaching because she's sick.
Sure.
So for both of you to go over it, or, you know, if it's just two different people who are going to meet during the week or something like that, you come here and have a coffee and then do the lesson. But this way, you never know down the road who might have to teach that lesson.
Yeah, it's true.
So if you're both aware of it and you're asking the same questions, just create a level of continuity.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes this happens, and someone will call out, or several people will call out, and the volunteers will say, "We don't have a teacher." I say, "Congratulations." Teacher. Everybody's got to be familiar. Everybody's got to be ready. If you don't think you're gifted to teach, well, you take that up with the Lord, because He just put you in that spot. Maybe He's trying to stir up something in you. He likes it when we're uncomfortable.
It's not about prepare. I just want to see our review, see the lesson plan. And after I review it, I just put it away. Then I'll pray to the Lord, you know, just to impart in me how He would want me to preach this. And then I'll just, and one course of the week, He'll give me, because, you know, the scripture talks about we submit the way to the Lord who would establish it. So I have these amazing ideas, so I start jotting things down. I have a habit of getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, like that's the time He wants me to spend that all the time. And so I'll jot down whatever He has me to jot down in terms of teaching. And I get so excited, I'm like, turn. You know, even when I have to teach like the full arm of God, teaching, you know, first grader and second grader, not just about something that we've done, you know, the arm, being the arm, but visualizing, you know, I have shared, for example, and that's what the Lord had made over my heart, is that we all are walking around with this invisible armor. I said, how many of us have faith in the race? I said, well, we're wearing that helmet of salvation. It protects our brain and no one can penetrate us in terms of having us not to believe that we're not saved. So I put each of those as an example so they know that they're walking around.
Sure.
But anyway, that's what I do. And whatever He parts from my heart, you know, I jot that down. But it's just amazing, you know, how when you surrender and you spend that quality time with Him,
No, it's true. Yeah. Commit your works to the Lord and He will establish your thoughts, Proverbs says. Similarly, lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways, right? He will direct your path. There's a way that seems right to a man. The end of the way is death. But like, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can feel like, I got this down. I'm going to do this way. This is going to be so awesome. And the Lord's like, actually.
That you can increase everything that I do, everything that I think, but they're not all, you know, there's God, and we're raising up leaders. And so it's like, so you want to apply to them, so this way this information sticks.
Yep.
Because you want them to be able to, you know, to move forward.
Yeah. What else you guys do? Ms. Diane?
I have a great sentence of balance. I think it's kindergarten. I've also used some definitions from old Bibles to supplement lessons. And I keep my old lessons with the curriculum's rotated. I have about 7 lessons every year. I go through it. And I actually talk it out. I have to tell people in my house, I'm not talking to myself.
I went to my mom. I read the lesson to her.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Mom, pretend you're 4 years old. Do you understand this word? But she went to Bible college.
Yeah, yeah. So she does understand the word.
You know? And so, and I'm like, okay, how's this down, Mom? So, yeah, I go to her sometimes.
Yeah, that's okay. It's all right.
But she likes it, actually.
Yeah, Lynn?
So sometimes I kind of act out differently. It's kind of like one voice to me. There is a higher chance that you'll get to it. Like, go back to love. First, you'll start. And they'll probably remember you if I don't want to watch it. Same thing. Have a mini TV show about peace.
Yeah. Yeah, act it out, prepare visuals, think about how you might show the lesson and not just speak the lesson. Yep, important ways, especially the younger they are, 3-year-olds, kindergarten, 4-year-olds, you know, activities to reinforce what you're teaching, so important, or pictures or visuals or the felt board or whatever. That's why if you guys ever need resources, just let us know, even if it's just to print out a picture in color or something, you know what I mean? We'll help you guys out. George?
You know, a little piece of paper that's what I want to say. I think kids and any kind of student remembers one thing from class. And when I was in college, I would always remember, you know, maybe a, you know, 45-minute lecture, and I would remember one thing. So you want to stress what the one thing is that you want them to take from the lesson. They always write on the board, you know, their midpoint, you know, plus the Bible verses and where they're located. I always have kids at the end of class, I go around the room, one thing, you know, and I tell them that I'm going to do this in advance, tell me one thing you learned, because then they articulate that, and then when their parents say, well, what did you learn? You know, they repeat that. I always call and make sure that, you know, some kids will be paying attention to the phone. I call in kids who are not paying attention. That forces them to pay attention. And I try to call them every kid. Or you, you know, some kids want to answer all the time, but you know, some kids are really reluctant to want to call them. But I think one, you remember one thing in class. And obviously, you play about it in prep. And you know, Chris said about, you know, having a, you know, diligent personal Bible study is really important, because that really,
yeah. Yeah, so I can speak from experience in sitting in Mr. B's classroom that there is an expectation among the kids. He will ask us what we learned today. And we must have an answer. Tom?
Well, sometime just today was my wife was given a brief introduction to the lesson, and she had a picture of Bible in her hand. Looking facing her, and usually she'll turn that around. She'll do it all the time, but she'll turn that around and point at some of the pictures of the kids. And she hadn't done that yet, she was just doing an introduction. And one of the girls says, could we see your book? And so she says, oh, I will. In fact, I finished the sentence or something like that, turned it around and pointed to, I think it was, I can't remember if it was the Transfiguration or whatever. But whatever it was represented, oh, it was about a neighbor. Doing a good job for the neighbor. And so she points at this, and you can clearly see somebody who was a good Samaritan, somebody was passing by the person that was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're all looking at this. And of course, we have first grade, they're just learning to read. So the written word isn't quite as important as a picture, but that kind of reinforcement is, when they ask for it in that particular way.
Yeah, again, I'll just say, always read out of God's word and always let them see that you are handling God's word. Bring them up to that level. I always expect more from the kids than what the world says I should. And I have found that to bear generally good fruit. I'll also say this. Any issues or just feedback in general, children's ministry world, I'm opening up the box. Anybody have anything that they're wrestling with or any suggestions for how things should be done differently or can be or any ideas? This is kind of also one of my desires with when we meet like this, is to all kind of get together and be able to give, create a little bit of a feedback loop. Tom?
I just sent you an email because I love to pray for kids, but the electronic registration never gives me a piece of paper to put in my Bible. So I just sent you a list of the kids in first grade are called my parents.
Yeah.
Because I want to pray for them.
Yeah. Someone asked me, a couple people have asked me since I did the all-volunteer meeting, can we get on the prayer list? And we have a prayer box that kids give prayer requests to every week, and then an email goes out at the beginning of the week, this was the prayer request for this week. I would encourage you also to take prayer requests in your room, whether that looks like you writing them on the board or however that looks like you collecting that. If you want, send that to me. If you want, give it to your coordinator to send out to all the volunteers so you can be praying. If you want, after this meeting, I will be sending out an all email that will just say, if you want to be on the prayer list for praying for the needs of our kids, reply back that you want to do that. And then I'll create a list of people to receive prayer requests from the kids. It will be anonymous, though. And so if you want specifically a list of names of kids who are in your classroom, I can get that for you, but I like to keep the prayer requests anonymous. We can always be praying more. Yep. Any other thoughts, feedback? We're doing everything perfectly. I love it.
Can you put the word something kids talk sometimes?
Yes, we can. Sometimes. Question was, can we put the words up in Kids Club when we have Kids Club up there? My desire is always for words to be up there. I know half the kids can't read them, but you all can. And so I want to put it up there for you, for the first graders, second graders. I don't always have a volunteer to do the PowerPoint. I realized too late during third service today that the words were not up there. But yeah, it's my goal to do that. I think that is beneficial for everyone.
Chris,
yeah.
One thing is that when we in the congregation see words up there, we know we're supposed to sing along.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's singing to us.
Yeah.
And I think kids can pick up on that, even if they don't know the words.
Sure. Yeah, time to sing. Lynn?
So,
Okay. Mm-hmm. Brings his own Bible. Nice. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, by the way, if kids bring their own Bible, just ask them if their name's inside. I'm all about kids bringing their own Bible. But we get a lot of lost Bibles. Yeah, yeah, if you want to share briefly, we're wrapping up. Go through like your routine of what you do. Yeah, there's an expectation there. So it's good to have procedures, expectations for your room that kids know what they're stepping into and have kind of a structure that they are used to. If it's kind of different every week, that makes it difficult. And of course, month to month with new volunteers, that's going to change a little bit because we all do things a little differently. But overall, if there's like a general like kids club time, this is what we do. You know, stand up, tuck in your chair, line up. You're the caboose. You know what I mean? It's like you go through the motions or whatever and the kids know what to expect. Yeah, so good to have expectations that are laid out. Yep. Cool. Any further feedback, I would just say never hesitate to reach out to me. You don't have to wait for when we have a meeting like this. I am always all ears, and this is the Lord's ministry, not mine. So whatever He wants to do, I'm welcome to feedback and to see what He would do. I won't always comply with all of your requests, but I'll do my best. Lynn? Churches play. So what did you say? I missed what you said at the front. You want to change that? How? Playtime less, Bible time more. Yeah. However that is balanced out for three-year-olds, that just has to kind of be what happens. I will just say that the way that we relate to kids is worshipful and says something about God, even when the Bible's not open. And so whether it's craft time or lineup time or you're inviting them into the room or play time for the younger kids, who you are in front of the kids, like that quote, you may be the only Bible somebody ever reads. You know what I mean? Like, so if you are showing the heart of Christ to the kids, if you're encouraging them, speaking scripture to them, having them sing worship songs or whatever, then that is a beautiful thing. And, you know, a lot of times kids will remember who it was that sat down next to them and was playing with them and giving them a good time while they might not necessarily remember the Bible lesson. Do we wish it was different sometimes? Absolutely. Like, you know, they go home and they, like, don't remember who David killed, the giant's name or whatever, but they were like, But Susie played with me in the kitchen all the time, and there's that, like, bless them, you know what I mean? So, like, that's cool. If they have that positive association with church, praise the Lord. I have a feeling that Jesus would have gotten down and played with them in the kitchen too. You know what I mean? And as he did that, he would have spoken truth to their hearts. So yeah, especially with the younger ages, ministry is a little more on a personal level at times, one-to-one, as you're just speaking scripture over a kid or singing scripture over them or doing whatever you can so that they stop screaming. So yeah. Yeah, we have only so much time with those young ones. But I agree. And that can be experimental, Lynn, if you want to try to adding a couple minutes here, taking away some minutes there, just, you know, however that goes. So
I usually just, like, will, like, sing songs to the kids, or as we do it, drawing the crafts, like, explain the craft to them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The story behind the craft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Use that free time of doing different things, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I've said it before, discipleship happens primarily in the context of relationship. And so it's important for us to develop relationships of trust with these kids, of love, and that's really where we're going to show them the heart of Christ. They may not remember the Bible lessons that we taught them, but they'll remember that we love them.
But even on the playtime with the little ones, because my most time is with the little ones.
Yeah.
Even on the sharing.
Mm-hmm.
On
sharing. Mm-hmm.
We always talk about Jesus, how Jesus is seen, that Jesus is smiling the way they behave. And how
yeah.
Jesus says
yeah.
when they see they acting like that. So mm-hmm. even if they're playing, we're putting Jesus in the middle according to what they're doing too.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, let me pray with and for you guys, and then we'll wrap it up. Father, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters who serve alongside me for your kingdom. I pray that you would further your kingdom in us and through us. Give us wisdom to know where to serve more, when to transition our service to another area of need within the church. Make us aware of the opportunities that you're putting in front of us and help us to see them as opportunities, and equip us, Lord. Give us what we need to be equipped, Lord. We know that it's through your Holy Spirit, and we know that you promise to give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks. So we ask you to fill us afresh with your Spirit, equip us for the work of the ministry, for the benefit of your church, help us to look out for the needs of others and thereby look out for your needs, if I can say that, Lord. I praise you for giving us one another for such a time as this. Be glorified in us and through us. Thank you for the privilege of serving you in this way. It is in your name we pray. Amen.